over the past couple of decades, we've increased the single processor performance. As we've increased the clock rate, we've reduced the supply voltage that we run the processors at. And the amount of power, remember, watts consumed by the processor is proportional to the clock rate times the voltage squared. And once the voltage got down to about 1 volt, you can't take it any lower. And that we went through the details of Dennard scaling as to why that's the case.
Wow.
It's fairly fundamental.
Now, the thing I think that most people have heard of is Moore's Law, of course, which talks about the speed of these devices is, it's almost year after year, it's incredible increases.
Right. So a factor of 2 every couple of years, which, as the report points out, turns out to be, you know, an order of a factor of 10,000 over 20 years. And, you know, this has been going on for 30, 40 years now. So all of us in our professional lives have come to expect the performance of computers to double every couple of years. And, you know, as that happens, boy, it enables new software applications. It, you know, all the things that we see on the Internet, all the new social networking applications, they all consume an enormous amount of computing power.
Yeah. Well, and it puts in my palm of my hand a device that's just almost more than I had on my desktop even a couple years ago.
Exactly. And so all of us, I think, intuitively expect, this Moore's Law to continue. And what the report points out is that some parts of Moore's Law will continue. In other words, we'll continue to get more denser chips, so we'll get more memory, more flash memory as Moore's Law goes forward. But unfortunately, the speed will not increase going forward for a single processor because of the power constraint.
And why is that important to the overall? Why is this focus on speed? Why does that matter?
Well, as I said, the way we've enabled, you know, innovative new applications is by using more computing power. So you think about, think about YouTube right now on the Internet. That's streaming video across the Internet. 10, 15 years ago, given the performance of computers, you couldn't have real-time video on the Internet. I mean, you could send text, you could send email,
right,
but you couldn't send video.
You could send it, and you got these sort of herky-jerky kind of things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people are, as they look forward, they would like to have more of that. They'd like to have, improved performance going forward. And to do that, you're going to have to find some way to continue the improvements in performance, but you're not going to get it through by the single processor like we have in the past. So the game over part of the title is, single processors are not going to deliver the ongoing performance improvements that we've seen in the past decades. But the next level part of our title is that means that today, is a prime time for doing innovative work in computing systems to understand how we build parallel systems, the software for it as well as the supporting hardware, so that we can take advantage of using, either tens or hundreds of processors, ordinary processors or more specialized processors.
Hmm.
You know, some of the recent supercomputers have begun to use graphics processing units as opposed to general purpose processing units because they can do more floating point operations per second than a general purpose processor. So graphics processors are a possibility. People are building computers now out of FPGAs, which are programmable logic arrays. So there's a number of possibilities that we can move forward into the future, but the crux of the innovation required is, how do we build software systems and understand how to develop parallel algorithms that can take advantage of these parallel systems?
Hmm.
And that's where the next level comes in. And we either figure out how to take advantage of these parallel systems, or we'll be stuck at the slower performance of single processors.
And talk about some of your recommendations, because one of the things you're recommending is, guess what, we need to do more research and development in this area.
Exactly. So I think that fundamentally, this has got to be driven, sort of application-driven. So we need to say, given that we need to move to parallel systems, how do we develop and codify parallel algorithms that will solve important applications? And then how would we build the software systems that would, in fact, make those parallel algorithms efficiently run? And then ultimately design a hardware platform that would be able to support that parallel software. And there are some research that's been initiated at a number of universities. Certainly in the scientific community or at our national labs, there's been some great work done in parallel processing, but it's focused on fairly narrow scientific applications. There's been a couple of commercial applications looking at parallel software. Google's developed a software system called MapReduce that helps them, you know, a lot of the fascinating geographic or mapping systems that you can get on Google or elsewhere tend to take advantage of MapReduce. But all of those systems are focused on fairly specific applications. And what you need is a more general purpose, universal way to take advantage of parallel systems. And that's where the research has to go forward at universities and some of our research laboratories.
And I think part of the question here is who does that research? I know organizations like Google and Intel's been doing a lot of research in this area. HP, of course, has their lab where they do a lot of research. Is there a government role here?
Well, you know, I would say that the real gem that the U.S. has is great research universities. And so, I mean, I think the source, I think, of a lot of this innovation will come from research being done at the research universities across the U.S., you know, from UC Berkeley to Stanford, yeah, MIT, University of Illinois, University of Texas at Austin. I mean, we have a great resource in those research universities, and I think that that's where a lot of the research has started, and I think our recommendation is we need to be more vigorously pursue that. Many of them are funded by government funds, whether it's the National Science Foundation or DARPA or others. So there's a lot of, I think, government university collaboration. And, you know, as has been the past for the couple decades, with that kind of collaboration, out of that collaboration will grow startups and transferring of ideas to, you know, established research labs at Microsoft and HP and Google and others. So I think we certainly have the infrastructure in this country to tackle the innovation, which will be this next level of computing systems. But the recommendations are we need to, more directly focus on this and more aggressively pursue it, because we're, as the report points out, we're already somewhat late. This, you know, we hit this plateau on single processors about 5 years ago. It does take some time, I think, to develop new programming systems to exploit parallel processing. It would have been good if we'd had these new systems 10 years ago, but they're not there today. So.
Well, and one of the challenges is we're not alone doing this anymore.
No, we're not. I mean, you know, there's a lot of news on the Chinese building, you know, the largest supercomputer here a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And so they're certainly doing the research as well. But, we need to aggressively go after this because we're not doing this alone. But I do think we have the people and the capabilities, if we'll focus on this, to really do some innovative work over the coming years. And in the area of computing systems, this ought to be sort of a golden opportunity.
Let me ask you, because the report is big. I have it, as people can see on the radio, I have it right here in my hot little hand, and it's a lot of pages. What's the one thing you hope people take away from this?
Well, the one thing I hope they take away from it is while the performance of single processors has leveled off, there's a great opportunity to move to parallel systems. And if the country has a focus on that and get some of our best minds working on that, there's no reason we can't continue to have, you know, greatly improved performance of our computing systems going forward for the next several decades, just like we have over the past decades. But it will take that focus to realize that we've got a real challenge here. And it isn't just, you know, Moore's Law as usual. We just wait 24 months and we've got doubling the performance.
This isn't just something that we should assume, Moore's Law is just going to continue. It has continued because we have invested a lot of research in this area.
Yeah. The other way I'd say, sort of the golden age of Moore's Law, sort of the past 30 years, where, you know, every 2 years, performance doubled, the cost stayed the same, the power stayed the same. Well, that's over. Moore's Law will continue in the sense that the chips will continue to get denser, in other words, more capacity, but the performance won't increase unless we move to parallel systems. And that's why we need this level of innovation that has not been required in the past.